welcome to The Married Life. I'm your host, Kevin Martin, and I have a wonderful treat for you guys this new year. My wife is going to be joining us on some of these podcasts, and so say hi.
Hello.
Yeah, so, hey, you know, one of the things that Latrice and I have been talking about this year is talking about having hope. So we're going to talk about having a breakthrough year. So stay tuned for us. Welcome back to The Married Life. I am your host, Kevin Martin, but I also have another host here. My lovely wife is here to co-host the show today. And say hi.
Hello. You're here. Thanks for having me.
I know. Everybody's been wanting to have you. So we're talking about having a breakthrough year, and this was actually your idea when we were talking at the coffee table. And you were talking about actually having a breakthrough year with all of the things that have been happening. I feel like 2018 was a rough year for us.
Oh, definitely.
And even like 2017 was just kind of coming from that. I feel like we've kind of gone from some lows, and we thought we were coming out, and we went into another low, and then we went into another low. You know?
Yeah, we had, you know, illnesses, and my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer, and this family drama, you know, from extended family members, and just all kinds of different things were coming at us those last couple of years.
Yeah, and it just felt like, I know for me, you know, it was long hours at work. It was, you know, coming back and forth. The late hours, really just, you know, got moved to 9 to 6.
Yeah, that crazy commute.
The crazy commute. Those of you who are not native Texans, if you're traveling on Interstate 635, it's basically like pouring molasses.
Yeah.
I would get up and basically in order for a 30-minute drive, I would need to get up almost an hour or more ahead of time in order to just make it there on time. That's how bad the traffic was. That was rough. And then, like you were saying, we had mom staying here. And so I never felt like we actually even recovered. And not to mention school stuff, you know, because we're homeschoolers and, you know, we do that thing. So I felt like we never really kind of gone out of that. And I know for you, you took a lot of brunt of that because you were here at home with the kids. And
yeah, I mean, you know, we both, you know, dealt with it in different ways. But I mean, yeah, definitely when, you know, that crunch time comes, dinner time hour, and everybody's, you know, going crazy, and, you know, I'm really wanting you to hurry up and get here to save me. And it just made for really, really long days. And there was just a lot of stress, and just really a lot of survival mode. It's just living to try to make it to the next day. But there are seasons like that, so we definitely have one.
So it was the thing that you had said at the coffee table when we were talking about being in kind of like this despair mode. And I didn't even realize that I was really kind of in this kind of sullen state because things just didn't seem to be going right. And it sort of kind of relaxed my guard and just kind of just going through the motions of every day. And I didn't even realize it, even through just through everything, through marriages, finances, through, you know, being a father and all these different things. It's just so much disappointment. And I think it really, hinders, you know, going into 2019, everybody's doing these New Year's resolutions.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Or now it's the word. You got to have your one word.
It's the one word, right? And so everybody's got to have their one word. And it's hard to see, you know, all of those are good. But it was hard for me to try to come up with like a one word, you know, or for any sort of New Year's resolution, because it was dealing with so much disappointment and really just wanting to have some hope for the new year.
Yeah. What would you say is your one word for this year?
My one word for this year, I would say my one word for this year would be perseverance, I guess.
That's a good one.
I don't feel like I've persevered very well this last year, just because of so much disappointment and not having any hope. And I think, like I was saying, it's kind of hard to come up with something to want to even do because you're afraid that it's going to turn out the same way.
Yeah.
You know,
I've never really done one word. I've heard about it and I was like, well, I don't know. I don't think I can pick one word. But I think this year I really, you know, even before this year began, started thinking about it. A couple of friends of mine were talking about it and I said, let me take it more seriously. And I really, I read a blog and I really love what the lady had to say about that one word kind of bringing things into focus and giving you some clarity and just the lack of pressure and guilt, you know, that you would normally feel with setting goals and, you know, 3 weeks later, you like, you know, I paid for the gym membership, but didn't really work out. So I like the idea of having one word to kind of help me focus my thoughts, you know, and make me, like you were saying, make me choose, like I'd like to choose a word like joy or either hope for this year. It makes me be intentional about how I think about the year and the different situations that we find ourselves in.
Yeah, and I think that that's kind of really the goal and the key is to have that, you know, that hope, because I think that really would, it keeps you going. And gives you something to look forward to, something that you can, something that you can do. We're going to take a break for a second and, why don't you, hang out and we'll be right back. Welcome back to The Married Life. This is Kevin and
Latrice.
Yay, we're here. And we are talking about having a breakthrough year. This is the second half of what we're talking about today. And, you know, we were talking just a minute ago about, you know, looking and having hope and then looking at, you know, being in despair mode. From the previous year, because, I mean, let's all face it, why are we doing resolutions for this and hitting the gym for that? Because we're disappointed that we didn't do it the previous year.
Yeah.
We're not happy with the way things have gone. We're not happy, or maybe that there's not even that you're not happy, but you're wanting to make some change. And that's not a bad thing. You know, if you are in that pit and you are in that despair, you know, you were just talking about some folks that you know that are going to be spending this whole year without some loved ones.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think there have been a few friends of mine and one dear friend of mine who, you know, had a loss. And that's going to mean a different year for them, and every holiday or birthdays and things like that are going to be challenging. So I think, you know, we all have different circumstances that are going to be challenging in every single year.
Right.
But how do we bounce back from that? How do we not allow that to steal our joy, steal our hope? And how can we break through like we're talking about?
Yeah. And it's just like, so it's like, and I know for me, it's like trying to find that hope when it just seems like, you know, none exists. You've been beat down. I think of the Rocky movie, you know, where Sylvester Stallone's fighting the big Russian guy, he's just getting beat down.
I couldn't watch that part.
Yeah, he was getting beat down. The Russian guy's almost he's super tall. He's like a 9-story building.
Yeah,
compared to, you know, Balboa's small, little 2-door condo or something. I don't know. But he's fighting this guy. And he's like getting, you know, he's getting nowhere.
Yeah, he's getting hammered.
And it's like, where's the hope? When's it gonna come? You know, me and my good friend Aaron, we both love Lord of the Rings, and I think of that scene where they're fighting in Helm's Deep, and they all decide to ride out in this last ditch effort to go and fight. He's like, if we're gonna die, we're gonna die fighting on our horses. And they ride out and they're fighting, but they're looking for that hope. Looking for that hope, and you see in one scene that and I forget who it is, but they look up on the hill because Gandalf says, look for my coming.
Yeah.
And mysteriously, it's on the third day, which is funny. And he's clothed in white, you know, hint, hint. But, and they look up and he's there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what happens if you look up and there's no Gandalf?
I think, you know, it's a beautiful picture of what the Lord is for us. When it says Psalm 121, you know, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
Yeah.
It's perspective. It's Peter getting out of the boat and stepping on top of the water. But yeah, then you start to become afraid and you cry out and the Lord is there and he hears you. So you have to keep the perspective, keep Jesus in front of you. That's Jesus is our hope.
Right.
And I think sometimes we lose our hope. We feel like, okay, we're gonna perish. You know, the disciples were in that boat and they're like, Lord, we're getting ready to perish, you know.
Right.
Don't you care? But he does. He does care. And that's, I think, what we need to ride on this year is having hope in Jesus and remembering that he's there and that he cares. And when you're, like you mentioned, being in despair mode, a lot of times when we're in despair mode, our problems become bigger to us than God because we focus on them.
Mm-hmm.
And when whatever you focus on is what you magnify. So in essence, we're magnifying these problems when really we should be magnifying God and telling our problems, this is what my God can do.
Right, right.
Or this is what he did in, you know, this person's life in the Bible, or my friend's life, or this is what he did in my past. And I know that he can do that again. It's a hard place to get to. But I really think when we renew our mind and take those thoughts captive, that can keep us from slipping into that place of despair and hopelessness.
Yeah, it was funny because we were talking about that, and we sing that song, on the solid rock I stand, you know, and I know me, you know, the wise men built his house upon the rock, and Jesus, that solid rock we stand, and when the winds and the rains are coming, I'm out the door looking for the lifeboat, you know, so I'm like, I don't know if this house that I built on the rock is going to stand. I need to get this lifeboat now. So, that's funny because we've been watching a show lately. We've been watching the Mountain. Yeah, we've been watching The Mountain Men, and there's quite a few characters out there who where it looks like that they didn't have any hope.
Yeah,
you know,
and it's funny because that's kind of like your dream that you want to, you'd love to do what they're doing.
Yeah, no,
but I mean it's really hard.
It is
so hard. I mean they're out in these frigid temperatures, talking 50 below, trying to trap animals and, you know, make a living off the land that's frozen.
Not so much. You know, I say, you know, one guy was paddling down. He lives, what is it? He lives 150 miles from the nearest road.
Yeah.
And the nearest town is ways away. And so he hikes out with a raft and then rides down the river. But somewhere along the line, the ice shelf punctures his raft. And so he has to, every few miles, he has to get out of the river and
patched
the raft once, but then there was another small leak, and so he had to like blow it up every few miles, get out, blow it back up, get back on the river. I'm like, man, this is hopeless. This guy is, you know, down the creek without a paddle, or down the creek without a hole in the boat. And
with a hole in the boat. But how is that? It's kind of how we live, right? Mm-hmm. We live in that place where we're trying to go this distance or accomplish this goal, and you know, he eventually makes it.
He does make it.
He doesn't give up. But a lot of times you're like, okay, this isn't worth it. You know, I'm tired of getting out and, you know, being uncomfortable, and I'm freezing. And I know it would just be like,
yeah,
totally not wanting to do that.
No, I'd be wanting to give up. So, but no, that's good. I realize that is a hard place to get to. We need to get to that place where we're relying on God to be our all. And I think that's kind of where the trap comes in, is when you are not grounded, and when you're not being having Christ as your all, you begin to turn to all different things, turning to this, turning to that, or trying to even make your own way.
Yeah, absolutely.
When he's already made a way, and he doesn't promise it to be easy, you know, quite the contrary.
Yeah.
But there is hope in that. So. We're going to take a break right now, but when we come back, we're going to discuss some practical ways that you can have your breakthrough year in 2019. All right. Hey, welcome back. We've been talking about having a breakthrough year in 2019, or it could be applied to 2020 or 2021, whichever you want to do. But having a breakthrough year, especially in the face of defeat and disbelief in the hope that's there. And so we want to give you some practical ways that you can have your breakthrough year. And I think when we sort of talked about that in the beginning of the last set there, where we talked about basically just returning to Christ, returning to Jesus as the center. I think it's easy to take our eyes off of Jesus during the day-to-day life. You know, you've got work, you've got kids. If you're stay-at-home mom or stay-at-home dad, you're wrapped up with running around the home.
Yes, we are.
You know,
lots of running.
And so it's very easy, you know, to get your eye off of that. Especially if you're like me, you can become discouraged easy when things aren't going your way, or when you're putting your all into something. I know, you know, I really thought I put my all into working this last year, only to, you know, have my services not needed anymore at the beginning of this year. And so, and I felt lots of discouragement there with promotions that were passed up and different things. And you know that you're working hard and not to have those things happen. So, and I know that I probably didn't rely on Jesus as much as I should have, you know, or even read my Bible or stayed in the Word as much as I should have been this last year. So I think that would be number one. It would be to put Christ back where he should be, which is in the center of your family. And then the second, what's the second thing? What we were talking about?
I think the second thing for me, I would say, would be to do something new. Do something that you've always wanted to do, but maybe you've never been brave enough or never made a priority. And maybe you're in a season of life where your kids are older or, you know, you just have the ability to explore some different things. And maybe your kids are still young and you can begin to just take nibbles at something that you want to do. Like, I know I've always wanted to learn to play the piano. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we still have young kids. We have older kids, but we still have some young kids. And I, you know, I'm going to burn some midnight oil, you know, just so that I can try to learn a little bit about that, learn the scales and get more acquainted with my, you know, my keyboard. And I really feel like a lot of times we feel like if we can't do everything all at once, then we don't do it at all.
Right.
And we discount those little bits of time that we can make progress. And I mean, some progress is better than no progress. So that's what I say. Do something new, because even in scripture, it says in Isaiah 43:18-19, it says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland.
I love it. Way in the wilderness. And
I love that. It just reading it gives me so much hope. You think of this parched ground and life gets so dry and so parched, and then you see the skies opening up and rain falling down on that parched dry land. And before you know, you can't even tell that it was ever dry. It's like a roaring river, you know.
That was like our Mountain Men we were watching, you know, where Tom Orr was actually, trying to, get some beaver, and it was all frozen, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was all frozen. Then, a couple of days later, it was just this roaring, rushing, you know, river.
Yeah, so, and his traps were all underwater.
I mean, things change quickly. Things can definitely change differently. But I think when you do something new, you choose to, maybe you're picking up Bible journaling for the first time or painting or whatever it may be, it just adds a little bit of joy to your life.
Yeah.
I think it breaks up that, you know, like you mentioned, the monotonous routines of doing this and doing that. Because some of us, to be honest, even though the year has changed, a different digit and it's a new year, a lot of us are still carrying things into this year from last year that we still have to deal with, that we still have to take care of. And I just think having something fresh and new just gives us that little boost. So that's what I think. I think that would be really good to do, and maybe even find someone to encourage.
Yeah.
That going through some of the same things, or, you know, somebody you can just go pray with and not just have the way of taking your mind off of things when you are serving.
And that's really and that's another good one. The next one, the third one, is really, getting yourself, in community with other believers, other people, and some guys out there, don't rag on me, I'm going to say get an accountability partner. but even if you don't want to use the word accountability partner, maybe get yourself a traveling buddy. Paul in the Bible equates your Christian walk as a race. And some people in a race, if you have a team of people who are racing, you have that teammate that you're running with, or some people who run every day have a running partner, basically just to kind of keep them kind of in step and kind of run with each other and kind of hold each other up.
I need one of those.
Yeah, I think we all need a running person to kind of to help us out. But
get me out of bed.
Get yourself a traveling buddy. Get yourself an accountability partner.
I love that term, traveling buddy.
A traveling buddy, really, because I mean, I think of the Pilgrim's Progress, and he didn't have anybody with him. He was just him in that huge, heavy bag of sin and no good stuff that was just on his back, and he didn't have a traveling partner. When you climb a mountain, most sane people who climb mountains have a climbing partner. They're going to help them climb that mountain. Two people are trying to achieve one goal or better in survival odds, and even in surviving, people who have somebody to survive with wind up having better odds of survival than just one person.
You double everything.
You double everything, right? And so we see instances like this all over the place, even like in the military, in the early years of the military, and I think it's even still that way in the Army. When you have a person that you're kind of buddied with in the field, both of you are carrying one half of your tent. Back in the old days, anyway, that's the way it used to be. My father used to tell me. And so he said, when you have that good buddy, one person is carrying one half of the tent and the other person's carrying the other half of the tent. And you all have to do what it takes to get to the end of the day. Because
Making sure you're going to get to the destination. You've got the roof or whatever.
You've got the other side of the tent. So I need to make sure this guy is, you know, if you've got a private pile or something like that, that's just really messing up. You're going to make sure that he gets to the other side, because you're sleeping under the stars tonight if you don't. So, oh
gosh. I'm carrying the matches.
Carrying the matches, oh, right? Goodness. So, get yourself a traveling buddy, somebody that can hold you accountable, and somebody who's going to call you and lift you up. You know, younger guys, get an older guy that's gonna be able to call you and lift you up. And older guys, find a younger guy that you want to invest in. And don't be surprised that you may learn a few things from the younger guy.
That's awesome. And then somebody like that's on the road with you, like a Paul and Barnabas.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That sort of thing.
To kind of keep things going, because the Christian walk wasn't meant to be done alone. Jesus picked 12 guys to walk with him and share life with him. And I would say the last thing, and it's not the least of the things, I didn't pick it to be the last thing. I just kind of picked it up in my notes.
Saving the best for last.
Saving the best for last, really. And I just say this for me. And again, you know, here on the show, we don't claim to know it all. We're speaking out of experience. And we want to share our experiences with you. And really, so this last one, number four, is just really getting in God's word. Is really getting in God's word, rediscovering God's word. I used to love to study God's word, love to study and find out new things. And I think the trials of life and different things bog you down, and they snuff out the fire.
I think I remember you holding the Bible, like you were trying to get your Bible reading in, and our youngest, who is 3, was in that phase of not sleeping through the night, and I don't think we had anybody up through the night at a good time, but
none.
I remember we have this picture of you, and you're just rocking his little playpen thing that he was sleeping in, and you had the Bible open on your lap, and he's kind of like laying back. If you can picture, he's laying back on the bed. He's kind of propped up, but he's got his feet on the pack and play, because the moment he stops rocking, Judah would start crying, and he was just trying to rock and read.
I remember that.
You know, sometimes you have to do that to find it where you can.
When you're parents, you're gonna have to ninja your way and figure out ways to be able to get different things. And some of them sound ludicrous, but I know there's many of you out there that have got the one hand on the pack and play, the other hand on something else.
Oh, yeah.
You know, meanwhile you're, you know, trying to do something else. So
they have stories, I'm sure.
Yeah, they've got plenty of stories, and we're gonna have some of you guys on the show, so you'll be able to share some of your stories and your tips and tricks. You know, so. But I think that's pretty much it. You know, it's been a pleasure having you on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
It's going to be good. And we're going to have this published out. Latrice is going to be ahead of our social media. So you'll be interacting with her a whole lot, on our Facebook page. You can go out there. It's out there. It's the Married Life. With Kevin Martin, and soon that's going to be all changing, because we got to change all of our content and stuff over.
I'm breaking through.
I'm back. I'm breaking through the ice. So we'll be getting that on there. So remember to join us on our Facebook page. Anyway, just wanted to lay that out there with you, and we hope that you're able to join us next time.
Have a breakthrough year.
Yeah, breakthrough year. Good time.